kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hello, God bless you. This is Brother Ferdinand, and we are continuing to look at Jesus. Jesus, 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 the spotless, matchless Son of the living God, the one that has revealed the Father, Jesus, the one that said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," Jesus. Jesus, the creator of it all, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, Jesus, Son of the living God, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, in the name of Jesus, please continue to reveal Jesus to us. Take away the veil from our eyes. Help us to see Jesus on earth as he is seen in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I like that prayer. Help me to see Jesus on earth like they see him in heaven. You know, that is once we see Jesus as he is seen in heaven, just imagine that you're able to see Jesus the way the Father sees him, the way the angels, the living creatures, the elders, to see him in the fullness of his glory. I believe that is life-changing. You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John up on that mountain. You know, you can read this in, Matthew chapter 17, you know, Mark chapter 9, and also in the Gospel of Luke. And the Bible says, up on that mountain, Jesus was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before their eyes. And scripture says, you know, his face began to shine like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And as they were looking at this Jesus, I can imagine Peter, James, and John say, "What? What? Is this the person that we have been with here all of this time? And we didn't know?" And they were gazing on Jesus. Wow. The Bible then says, the voice came from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This, he said, "Listen to him." This is Jesus. Jesus transfigured before the eyes of these apostles. You know, Jesus must transfigure before our eyes, I'm telling you. This ordinary Jesus that is you know, is just average and another religious leader. No. This is not the Jesus that is revealed in scripture. Listen to what the Bible says that happened. This is Matthew chapter 17, you know, verse 2. "His appearance underwent a change in their presence. His face shone clear and bright like the sun. His clothing became white as light." Let me tell you the miracle of what happened that day is that nothing entered into Jesus. I said nothing entered into him before he started changing. Nothing entered into him. Hey, scripture here says in the Mark account that he was transfigured before them and became resplendent with divine brightness. His garments became glistening, intensely white as light, as nobody could bleach them. This is Jesus revealed to them on that Mount of Transfiguration. I like the way the Luke account also put it. Wow, listen to the Luke account. "And as he was praying," this is up on that mountain, "the appearance of his countenance became altered, different. His raiment became dazzling white, flashing with the brilliance of lightning. He himself, his face was blazing, shining like the sun." Wow. And of course, those guys slept, but when they woke up, the Bible says they saw his glory. And then they began to talk, you know. Peter said, let us build three tabernacles. And the voice from heaven said, what do you need three tabernacles about? Which Elijah are you talking about? This is my beloved son. Listen to what he has to tell you. You don't need Elijah now. Moses and Elijah have expired. I have come to reveal myself to you in the person of my son, Jesus. You pay attention to him. You listen to him. Oh, glory to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, if you are going to know God, you will know him by knowing Jesus. That's a big statement. I'm going to make it again. If you are going to know the Father God, you will know him by knowing Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that is accessible. It is Jesus who has revealed the Father. He is the one that has, you know, brought him out where he can be seen. Like the Amplified Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Remember that statement that Jesus made in John chapter 14 from verses 9 to 11 when he was speaking to Philip. Blessed be God forevermore. So remember, we began to look at the prehistoric Christ, the Christ before history, and we saw that Jesus had glory with the Father before the world existed. You find this in John chapter 17, verse 5. We saw that Jesus was there before the creation of the world. In fact, the Father loved him before the creation of the world. He said in John 17, 24, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus was before Abraham. We read this in John chapter 8 from 56 to 58. He told the Jews, he said, your forefather Abraham was extremely happy at the hope and prospect of seeing my day, my incarnation. And he did see it and was delighted. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? One Bible version said, and has Abraham seen you? You're not 50 years old, and Abraham lived, you know, more than 4,000 years from this point. About 4,000 years. And you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus replied, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Hi! And the Bible said the Jews took up stones to stone him. End of converse, end of discussion with this fellow. They took stones to stone him. Of course, the Bible said he walked through their midst and he went away. They didn't know him. That's the point. You see, the person that Mary gave birth to did not begin to exist when Mary gave birth to him. Don't forget, it was the Word that took flesh. What the Word took, what the Word collected from Mary was not life. It was flesh. It was a body. That's what the Word collected. He said, a body you are prepared for me. God prepared a body for Jesus, and he collected that body by passing through Mary's womb. Are you following that? But what was conceived inside Mary is the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God that took flesh, and then he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Blessed be the Son of God. Jesus is before all things. We read that in Colossians chapter 1. And the Bible is very clear in verse 17. He said, he is before all things. And it is in him that all things hold together. In fact, before then, in Colossians 1, we read in verses 15, 16. He said, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. So if you want to see the invisible God became visible in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things We are created through him and for him. And he is before all things. Jesus was there before the mountain, before Goliath, before your problem, before sicknesses, before curables and incurables. He is before all things. I don't understand why he's not before all things in our churches. Jesus must be before the man of God, before our program. He must be before our desires because he's before all things. Jesus must be before my agenda. He must be before my plans. He's before. He cannot come behind in anything because in all things, he must have the preeminence because he's the preeminent one. Hallelujah. So we continue with looking at the prehistoric Christ, even in the Old Testament. Do you know that Jesus was there in the Old Testament? You remember the story of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar made. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, from verse 23, it said, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Remember, heated 7 times. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' And then he said, 'Look, I can see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God.'" Nebuchadnezzar said, look, I can see 4 people walking inside the fire. Loose. They are not bound. They are not hurt. They are not in any pain. The fire is not burning them. And that 4th one there is like the Son of God." When Jesus saw these boys standing up for their conviction to honor and to glorify God, he came from heaven and joined them in the fiery furnace. And his presence prevented and overwhelmed the power of fire. Hey, the creator of fire came from heaven into the fiery furnace and overruled fire. The Bible says when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they came out of that fiery furnace, even the smell of fire was not on them. The smell of fire was not on these boys. Hey, hallelujah. Their hair were not singed. Their clothes were not burnt. They came out fresh out of that fiery furnace. You see, when you know that Jesus, the 4th man in the fire, when you know that he will be with you when you pass through the fire and you will not be burnt, when you know it, you will come out neat. Something happened, you know, let me give you a testimony. Something happened the other day. You know, my wife and our ministry prayer coordinator and then our national coordinator for Kenya and East Africa, And 2 other children, our daughter and another child, they were in the car, you know, coming back from a program that we had. This happened just, you know, within this August. They were in the car coming back from the program. This must be on the 7th of August. Coming back from the program, and as they turned into by the way, there was nothing wrong with this, you know, Pathfinder, you know, the Nissan Pathfinder that they were driving. And as they were coming back from this program, just maybe like 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers to our home, as they turned off the express, they smelled fire. And before they could stop, the fire was, by the time they stopped rather to check what is going on, the fire was already raging. But glory to God Almighty, they were able to scramble out and get out of the car. You needed to see the explosions because the tank was almost filled with fuel. The car was exploding. The tank was exploding. The tires were exploding. The fire was terrible. Cars had to stop both ways for the fire to burn for like 1 hour. The enemy wanted to lock them inside that place and consume them. But Jesus was present. He was there that day. He was there and he got them out because the doors could have jammed. 5 of them, all of them came out unhurt. Glory to God. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burnt. My son was in his room. I'm telling you stories of true deliverances. When the Son of God is present, hallelujah, the fire cannot consume you. Earlier this year, my son was, you know, he's a student on campus, and he was in his room, asleep in his room. He said that particular night, he just felt in his spirit. He's a child of God, serving the Lord, you know, even as he studies. He felt in his spirit to not to sleep on the mattress, you know, in his room, but to just sleep on the floor. I think he's put something and he lay down to sleep. And he said in the night, he woke up to find his room on fire. The roof was burning, the mattress was burning, the curtain was burning, and glory to Almighty God. Thank God for clarity of mind. And then he went to the door was burning because the curtain over the door, on the inside of the door, the curtain was already on fire. Thank God for clarity. He ran into the bathroom. He was able to put some detergent in water and poured on the door. He said the roof was, the ceiling was falling down on his head. The mattress was on fire. He said when he was able to quench the fire by the door, he was now able to open the door. He carried the mattress, threw the mattress out of his room. And that was how he was able to get, you know, some help. And then he was able to quench put out the fire that was raging, because it would have consumed the entire block of the hostel where he lived. Glory to Jesus. The Son of God was there in the fire. You see, knowing Jesus will change everything. The painful thing for me is that much of the church today, they are not focused on Jesus. It's a disaster. We are looking at the man of God. We are looking at the prophet. We are looking at Papa. We are looking at Bishop. My Papa said, my Bishop said, you know, who is your prophet? Who is your father in the Lord? All of these people are taking our eyes away from Jesus Christ. Remove your eyes from fellow human beings and fix it on Jesus. The Bible says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Do you know something that interests me in that passage is that in, this is Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 that I just quoted. But do you know the preceding chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, describes the heroes of the faith. Verse 1, chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God also testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, the rest of chapter 11 describes all of these great heroes of the faith. But do you know, Jesus is not mentioned in chapter 11. Why is that so? Because Jesus is not a hero of the faith. He is the author and the finisher of the faith. We are not called to fix our eyes on the heroes of the faith. They are our classmates. All of us are running the race set before us, just like they themselves ran the race or are running the race set before them. And many of the people that we are promoting and celebrating, please listen, I believe in honoring and respecting people, but you cannot replace Jesus for me. I am sorry. I cannot remove my eyes and fix it on you. You are my solution. You are my connection. Without you, I can become nothing in life. You are a human being like me. Jesus died for you one time on the cross. These things are very important. I'm not teaching that we should not respect brethren, but Jesus said, all of you, you are brethren. Of course, we have leaders. We are going to have elders in the faith. We learn from them. But even Brother Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Meaning that you are to fix your eyes on Christ and learn from me as all of us are following Jesus together. Not if I start replacing Christ, then keep your eye on me. This is very important because deception begins when we remove our eyes from Jesus. Peter began to sink when he removed his eyes from Jesus. Nobody sinks with your eyes fixed on this Christ, the fourth man in the fire. He will be there in your time of trial. Call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will show himself mighty in your behalf. We now see again with the prehistoric Christ that Jesus was with Israel in the wilderness. You know, it's in the New Testament that we get this revelation of what they experienced. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when you read it from verse 1, it says, I don't want you to forget, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and then he brought them all safely through the waters of the sea on dry ground. And all of them drank the same miraculous waters. Listen, oh, we are now told, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them. And that rock was Christ. Wow. You remember there was this rock that when the people lacked water, God said to Moses, go, the first time, he said, go and strike the rock and water will come out. Moses did that. He took the rod and he went and go, he hit the rock and push, water began to come out of the rock. Wow. The next time, God said to Moses, now, go to the rock, hold the rod, but don't strike it, don't hit the rock. All you need to do is now speak to the rock that had been stricken once, and water will come out. And oh, Moses missed it. It was such a disaster, Moses missed it. Moses went to the place, you know, the people had provoked him. That's a matter with leadership. Be very careful. Don't let the provocation of followers make you to scatter what God has committed into your hands. They provoked Moses. Moses was angry. Moses said, must we bring water for you rebels out of this rock? Bah, bah! He hit the thing twice. And surprisingly, water still came out in Moses' disobedience. You see, many people think that simply because miracle is happening, then God must be happy. It's a joke. You're looking at the wrong place. Don't use the miracle that is taking place in your ministry as an authentication of the fact that you're a child of God. You are making a mistake. God is confirming his word, not your character. He is honoring the name of Jesus, not your character. Do you know that Samson was sleeping with prostitutes and carrying gate, uprooting gate, killing Philistines while he was living an immoral life? So don't, because Moses hit the rock. God says, speak to it. He disobeyed. Hit the rock twice, but water came out. I can imagine all the people rushing, drinking the water. But the Moses that did the miracle, God called him and said, Moses, come to this side. I need to talk to you. He said, you are not getting into the promised land. You didn't honor me before these people. You are doing your will now. Moses said, must we bring water for you out of this rock? I can imagine God said to Moses, when did you join the committee that produces water from the rock? Must we bring water? It's you now that is doing the miracle. You are not getting into the promised land. I told you to speak to the rock. You are smashing it. Do you know that that was a very major crime? Because when you now come to the New Testament and you discover that the rock was Christ, that rock that Moses hit twice, and do you know the Bible said that rock traveled with them, the rock followed them. In fact, the Bible here, the New Living Translation said, they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them. It wasn't an arbitrary rock that there was one rock in somewhere along the road, and then you hit it, there was water, and then another rock. This rock was following them. That's what the Bible says. We are told this revelation in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Wow. And we are now told that that rock was Christ. So it was Christ that Moses struck twice. I believe, and many Bible scholars believe, that this was why Moses had to appear on the Mount of Transfiguration to explain himself. Why? Who are you to strike the rock two times? The rock was Christ. Which Christ? Jesus Christ. It was the Messiah. Wow! So Jesus did not begin to exist when Mary gave birth to him. No! No. Why? Father revealed Jesus to us like we have never seen him before. Now, we also see Jesus referred to in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. Let me read the story for you. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Joshua is very bold, eh? Somebody standing in front of you with a sword drawn. And he went to him, he said, are you for us or you're for our adversaries? Are you for us or you're for our enemies? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I have now come. Neither, none of the above. Are you for us or for our enemies? He said, neither. You decide who you are for. I'm not for anybody. You know, I cannot come and line up behind anybody. I have come here as the captain of the armies of the Lord. I have arrived. Wow. The Bible says Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. This is a very important piece of information here, because Joshua worshipped this captain of the host. If it was an ordinary angel, he would not accept worship. But as Joshua was worshiping, the captain of the Lord's hosts says to Joshua, Joshua said to him, what do you say to your servant? What does my Lord say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose the shoe from off your feet. Remove the shoe that you are wearing, for the place whereon you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. You remember the other person that was told to remove his shoe was Moses at the burning bush. And God said, remove your shoe from that place. That is what you do in the presence of divinity. You take off your shoes. You step on the earth from where you were made. Hi, hallelujah. This is not an ordinary angel that appeared here. This is Jesus. This is the captain. Jesus is the captain, the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is the commander-in-chief of the heavenly forces. You remember in the book of Revelation chapter 19, let me read that scripture for you. It says the armies in heaven, they followed him. Hey, hallelujah. Revelation 19 from verse 11. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture, with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus described. Hallelujah. Verse 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, they followed him. This is the commander, the captain of the hosts of heaven. The armies in heaven followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, of kings and Lord of lords. Glory to Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. The captain of the hosts of heaven. Hi. Hi. See, you know, all of these governments and all of these kingdoms of this world, I want you to listen. The owner, Jesus Christ, is the Lord of planet Earth. He has been appointed as king over the universe by the Father. There's nothing that can change it. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? See, the kings of the earth, they set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You think Listen, God is not stranded. As different governments are trying to outlaw God and different agendas are trying to manifest and people want to rule over other people, kill everybody except themselves and entrench themselves and all of these things. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. There is a counsel that will stand, and it is God's counsel. He will overrule. God is going to impose his will on planet Earth. That's why the most important thing we can do now is to make sure that we are walking with him and we are living to please him. Glory to Jesus. And finally, in this segment, Jesus was often referred to as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. You are going to see this, you know, with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, the angel, every time when you read that angel of the Lord, capitalized in the Old Testament, there are several Bible translations like the Amplified, the New King James, and others. They capitalize that angel of the Lord. I'll give you a couple of examples as we wrap this up. In Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, you remember? And Abraham stretched out his hand. This is Genesis 22 verse 10. He stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel, capital angel of the Lord, called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God." Listen to what the angel is saying. "Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So you can see this is because an ordinary angel will have said, "Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from God." But this is the angel of the Lord talking. He says, "You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And the angel of the Lord in verse 15 called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn." There's only one person that swears by himself. That is God. But you see, he's called the angel of the Lord. Yeah, this is Jesus. "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you." He didn't say blessing. God will bless you. Blessing I. We bless you. "Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore." Hallelujah. "And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." This is the angel of the Lord, capital A, speaking. And you will find several other instances, Judges chapter 6, you know, with Gideon. He was the one that appeared to Gideon. Because remember, Gideon and, Manoah and his wife. Remember, you know, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife, remember the wife prayed that angel of the Lord will come back. And in verses 11 and 12, my apologies. This is Gideon. I missed this here. Now, it says in verse 11, "Now the angel," capital A, Judges chapter 6, verse 11, "the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah." And, of course, Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to hide it. And verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord," capital A, "appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" When you read the rest of the story, verse 20, when Gideon was going to make an offering, the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. Pour out the broth." He did so. And then the angel of the Lord, capital A, put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock. Fire Eliah came out of the rock. See, look at the rock, Jesus. He said, put the thing on the rock. Fire came out of the rock. You remember water came out of the rock. This rock is the rock of ages. Out of the rock will come safety. Out of the rock, water, living water. Do you know it was when the rock was struck that rivers of living water? Oh, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hoi, hoi, I'm just seeing something here. Do you know that Jesus is the rock? When he was struck on Calvary, rivers of living water poured out for humanity. Rivers, rivers. That's why the Holy Spirit could not come out, could not be given to humanity until the rock was stricken, smitten at the cross. But when the rock was struck and Jesus was glorified, he poured out rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So you see, the rock contains life. The rock contains rivers of living water. Fire comes from the rock. The fire of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, it came from the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, that was stricken and smitten, battered and bruised for our redemption. Glory to his name. You know, earlier Gideon asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Wonderful. My name is Wonderful. Huh? Glory to the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, we praise God and we thank him. Jesus, may we revert back to knowing Jesus, focusing on Jesus. We are going to continue to do that in the next series as we gaze on the person and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Later, we are going to describe Jesus because the glorified Christ is described in Scripture. I said the glorified Christ is described in Scripture. And when you see him in the fullness of his glory, you see him lifted up, you see Jesus, you see him seated at the right hand of the Father God. And then you see him, do you know when you see him, then you will see the power of his name. Then you will see his victory over principalities and powers. Then you will see him high and lifted up, King of kings and Lord of lords. And don't forget the greatest miracle of all. Child of God, don't forget the biggest miracle of all, the guarantee of our victory. Christ in you, inside. You are carrying this Christ that we are describing. He lives in you and you live in him. Oh, blessed be God. Father, thank you. Oh, gracious Father, continue to reveal Jesus to us. Reveal Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We want to walk with Jesus. Father, we want to be intimate with Jesus. Oh, Christ, you live in our heart. Take away the veil. Reveal yourself to us. Oh, Lord, that we might know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, be made conformable unto your death, that we may see the Father as we gaze on you, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, take away the veil and make Jesus real, real to us in ways we have never known him before. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen and amen. The Lord bless you, servant of God. Please share this message. We have no other agenda but that Christ alone will be honored and be glorified. And don't forget, the notes are also posted in the group, the Transforming Truth group. And please invite others to benefit as we study God. The people that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Bye-bye.
Lord of the land. Lord of the sea.